India pull out a win against the West Indies, keeping their hopes of going back-to-back at T20 World Cups alive. This is your Super 8 recap, plus everything for the semis coming up in the T20 Cricket World Cup. Wow, what a game for India. They bring in Samson, and he gets it done, hitting a beautiful 97 not out. Again, we can go back to game management, not giving himself a chance to get the 100. But they get it done. This game had a little bit of everything, and you thought for a little bit there during the West Indies innings that they would be able to get it done. But no, India clutch up and get the win. If we go back to the start of this game, West Indies, we're doing pretty good. They bring Chase up to open, and they're 45 for none after six. Chakravarti, he would strike in his very first over. Hope, 23 off 33. And then Bumrah would eventually get Hetmyer, 27. Chase would get out for 40 off Bumrah also. It was back-to-back in the same, I wasn't saying back-to-back balls, but in the same over, two wickets go down. And West Indies are 103 for three. Now, they did drop three catches during their innings, India. They were like the best catching team, and then all of a sudden, by the end of that game, became the worst catching team of the tournament. Powell and Holder put on a beautiful partnership to bring West Indies back to 195 for four, and this chase of 196 would have had to be India's highest run chase in a T20 World Cup. Sharma and Kishan out early for India, and they're 53 for two after the power play. Sky would get dropped, but then he would get caught out, and then he's scoring one more run. And it's Samson took control of this game. He would score 97 off 50, and India had a situation where they needed 60 off six overs. They needed 50 off five overs. Hardik Pandya comes in at the end, and Verma come in at the end, hit some really nice shots, accelerate the run rate, and they ended up needing seven off the final over. It's the highest score that Samson, it's his highest score of the World Cup so far, and it's the highest score India player has scored in a chase, surpassing Virat Kohli's 87. They get it done, India. They get it done, and we're going to set up for potentially a same final that we saw in the 2024 World Cup. Going back a game, Zimbabwe, South Africa, dead rubber game essentially, but South Africa, they get it done. Everyone kind of fires. It's good to see people down the order getting some runs. Markram and de Kock had been scoring a lot of runs. They get out early. But then Rickleton, Brevis score some runs. Miller scores some runs. Stubbs scores some runs. Everyone, even down the order, getting some more runs there, which is good for them. You want to make sure that everyone is firing. Raza ends up being man of the match. He gets a nice score for Zimbabwe, 73 of 43, and also takes 3 for 29. Doesn't matter. Zimbabwe go out. Their Cinderella story is over. Into the game previous to that, Pakistan versus Sri Lanka. Now, there was a real reality where Pakistan could have gone through and knocked out New Zealand. And they absolutely butchered this game. They did a classic Pakistan doing Pakistan. They win the game, but they lost the game. They lost this game, even though it says that they won. They had an absolutely amazing start. Farhan and Fakhar put on one of the best opening stands you're going to see. 176 for none they were. For none. It was absolutely amazing. And then they have a historic collapse. They lose 8 wickets for 36 runs. They should have scored 230, 240. They had just set it up. And they made a big mistake taking out Babar Azam out of the game. They didn't pick him for the team because he bats slow. But everyone fired above him. Fakhar and Farhan fired at the top of the order. They get 176 for 6. And they needed Babar to come in and just steady the innings because everyone just came in swinging for the fences and got out, leaving them 212 after being 176 for none. Absolutely ridiculous. And then Sri Lanka, they had a chance to get Sri Lanka all out. They needed to get Sri Lanka out less than 147. And you thought when they were 5 wickets down, there was a chance that could happen. But they stay in there, Sri Lanka. They stay dialed in. Pakistan can't get the wicket. And then Pakistan decide, you know what? We're going to try to go for the win. We're going to give our home fans something to cheer about. And it became an electric game. The fans got into it and they started going what I call hammer and tong. They started swinging and everything. And Shahunkar, the captain, he would score 76 off 31, hitting 8 sixes. And it was just a phenomenal ending to the game. The final over was 4-6-6-6. And then two dot balls, which controversially could be wides or not wides. I think they were fair game. I don't know why he went the ramp on that fifth ball. I don't know why he went the ramp. He could have just kept swinging for the fences. And the final ball landed on the line. I'm calling it in. On the line is in for me. So Sri Lanka ended up missing out by 5 runs. They only needed 5 off 2, and they somehow butchered that at the end. Pakistan get the win, but it was all in vain. But I think one of the biggest turning points of the World Cup so far happened between New Zealand and England. This is one of the most interesting games. I have a lot of stats to break down here for you because I found this game so fascinating. So New Zealand win the toss and they go into bat. And New Zealand took them 8 balls to score their first run. They couldn't hit Jofra Archer. He had a maiden. First over was a maiden. So they were none for none going into the second over. But they end up eventually picking up Jofra Archer into his third over. And Timmy Seifert and Allen get some runs. And they end up 54 for none after 6 overs. And Timmy Seifert, we're just going to point out some of his stats. He was 9 off 13. He was 10 or 14. He was 11 or 15. He was going really slow. And then he would accelerate to be 26 off 20. And then he would be 35 off 25. He just kind of used the first part of the innings, saw the ball off, and then started going for it. Really good acceleration. Allen, he would get out 29 off 19. And New Zealand would go from 64 for no wicket, 64 for one, 66 for two. And then Ahmed, coming in on debut for England, was absolutely amazing impact player for them. He would get a wicket with his very first ball, getting out Ratchan Ravindra. And this ball was an absolute half tracker that was a wrong in that I think Ratchan was just sitting back to absolutely smash it out of the park. But it turned so much. The ball was turning a long way. And Ratchan hits it out to the man in the deep. He's gone. 97 for 3 in the 12th over New Zealand. Chapman, he'd get out 15 off 9. To Rashid. He got stumped. I don't know why what possessed him to come down the track, but he just runs down the pitch, gets done, and gets stumped. It was absolutely terrible. Mitchell, coming down the order, has been struggling for form, struggling for runs. Coming into the tournament, had a lot of runs in both forms of white ball cricket, and ODIs and T20s. He's been really struggling this tournament. He gets out for 3. Phillips, he gets 39 off 28, kind of a little bit of a savior towards the end for New Zealand, getting some runs for them. McConkie, he kind of struggled, 14. And for the bowling for England, Ahmed, 2 for 28. Rashid, 2 for 28. And Jax, 2 for 23. He bowled really economically, got some key wickets for England. They end up posting their lowest score of the World Cup so far. New Zealand, 159 for 7. But they did get 168 for 7 against Sri Lanka and then kept Sri Lanka to 107. So there was a possibility that they could bowl out England if they played to their full potential. They had the best possible start, New Zealand. New Zealand, Henry gets a wicket in his first over. Salt goes for 2, and they're 1 for 2, New Zealand. And then Butler would get out for a duck, leaving them 2 for 2 in the second over. Ferguson would get that wicket, and they were 47. So if you compare the first 2 overs, New Zealand were none for none into the second over, into the 8th ball, the second over. And England, when they went to bat, they were 2 for 2 on their 8th ball of their innings. Crazy how that started like that. That would be 47 for 2 after 6. And then Phillips would get the wickets of Brook. Brook would get out for 26 of 24. An amazing catch off Bethel by Phillips in the deep. 21 of 16. Bethel had to go. They're 58 for 4 at this point. Phillips would then catch Ravindra. He would catch Curran off Ravindra, 24 off 22. And then Banton, he would get 33, batted pretty good off 24. And the score at that point would be 117 for 6, leaving a 85% chance that New Zealand would win this game. But a very key point and a very key strategic blunder by New Zealand would end up costing them. They needed 43 runs from 18 balls, New Zealand, and Santner decided to bowl Phillips for the 18th over, which he left Lucky Ferguson. Lucky Ferguson had only bowled two overs. Ferguson needed to bowl this over. Ferguson was had two overs, one for 14 with seven dot balls. Ferguson is one of the best fast bowlers going around in T20 cricket. And instead of giving it to Ferguson with 43 runs to play with, they give it to Phillips. And when you're swinging for the fences, you don't want an off-spinner on it. It doesn't matter what kind of off, even if it's Jadeja or even if it's Chakravarti, whatever. You can get a hold of a spinner. You can get a hold of a spinner. And he got a hold of 43 off 18. He bowls, then it's 44 off 17. And then Ahmed at the crease comes down the track and hits an amazing six. Then the six changes the momentum of the game. Just skips down the wicket, goes bang, down the track, changes the momentum, and they would go for 22 runs off that over. Absolutely amazing hitting by Ahmed and Jax. Moving into the 19th over, it should have been Ferguson bowls the 18th, Henry bowls the 19th, and then Ferguson would close it out. Instead, Phillips bowls the 18th, Santner bowls himself again off spin in the 19th over, leaving Henry his final over for the 12th. It was too late. 16 runs come off Santner's over. They go hammer and tong on Santner, and then it just leaves 5 of 6. And then what can Henry do with that? Nothing. Can't do anything with that. He gets a 1 and then 4 leg byes. Game is over. And England should have been beaten by New Zealand in this game. But then they came back. So is this going to be a little foresight for England? Can they put up a come behind victory? Can they put up some runs against South Africa? As we lead in to the final four, England will verse India. England's going to verse India. And we're going to have South Africa versus New Zealand. They're the matchup. So South Africa versus New Zealand first. And you would think at this point that South Africa is going to get the win over them, considering they already have won against them. In their last match, New Zealand posted 175 for 7. South Africa chased that down, winning by 7 wickets with 17 balls remaining. And the way they've been playing South Africa, you have to say they're the favorites in this game, and they're going to win. And with New Zealand having kind of blown the game against England, South Africa, big favorites to move on there. And then India versus England, very, very interesting matchups here. I had to go back and see the last time they played. They played early in 2025, India winning that series. So let's see what England can do here. The top two for England, I would say, you would almost have to say that Butler, they could throw a random gamble and put Duckett in. I think Duckett could keep. I think he can keep. Someone else could keep. But Butler hasn't been batting very well, and it's a kind of, they need an extra batter, and they need to extend the order. They need some extra runs. They got to be able to put up 200 if they're batting first, 220, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. I don't know if England can get it done over India. India are finally firing on all cylinders. Everyone's got a good hit. Everyone's got a good run. They're batting really deep into that Indian batting lineup. But I would love to know your thoughts. Who is going to go through? It's most likely, if you have my pick, it's going to be South Africa and India in a replay of the 2024 World Cup final. Let me know your thoughts, team. And that's cricket.